Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 53 of Beyond the Supernatural, and the word of the day is janky. We're still talking about the Ghost Hunter psychic character class. This is in fact the last day of that PCC. The Ghost Hunter, as we've been discussing, is a person who has a deep and primal need to punch the shit out of ghosts, and this has elaborated itself via psychic potential into a whole suite of abilities that facilitate ghost punching, and one of the primary expressions of this urge to punch is the Ghost Hunter's arsenal. Although the character is theoretically a psi mechanic, so far we haven't really talked about their gadgets, but this is the page where we get them. And both this page and the gadgets themselves are janky. The pieces don't quite fit together, everything looks kind of ridiculous, does it work, doesn't it work? And when it comes to the in-character side of that, I actually quite like it for the Ghost Hunter. We talked a few days ago at the beginning of this section about how the illustration for the Ghost Hunter looks like Blade, except that the character illustrated for this class is a card-carrying member of Chunky Gun Club and has a big chunky Palladium-style gun. That's a decisive change in the aesthetic of this character as compared to Blade, and this page actually does bear that out with what I think is a cool and uncharacteristically subtle conceit for Palladium, which is that this character, if they are ever apprehended or searched by legitimate authorities, looks like either a ridiculous crank or some kind of steam goth cosplayer, because their monster fighting apparatus looks extremely fucking goofy. There are all kinds of rules about these gadgets on this page, but I'm not very interested in talking about them. I want to talk about what these gadgets look like. We'll start with the Ecto Slayer shotgun. This is a shotgun that you can supercharge with your ISP or your PPE to shoot out bolts of flame that don't do much to people, but can hurt supernatural creatures. We'll return to the shotgun later this episode, but what I want to point out for the moment is it is described as, quote, a sawed-off shotgun with extra tubing and wire. So in case anyone in the audience is going to make it a project in their own home workshop to create an Ecto Slayer shotgun and go shoot at some ghosts, which, by the way, I don't recommend and I don't condone, but do take video and send it to megadumbcast@gmail.com. The way that you make an Ecto Slayer shotgun is to start with a shotgun and then add tubing and wires. That's the kind of mechanical genius you develop when you devote all of your psychic potential to somehow shooting ghosts with a shotgun. I would love to have seen the eureka moment for the Ghost Hunter when they finally hit upon this technique. You know, they had their whole workshop laid out in front of them, all of their various firearm accessories and parts, ballistics formulas on a whiteboard on the wall on one side of them, and arcane tomes open on the other side. And then finally, after months of fruitless effort, they snap their finger. Eureka, at last, I've got it. And they run over to a PVC pipe and stuff it full of loose wires and duct tape it to their shotgun and sigh with total contentment. At last, I am ready to face the creatures of the night. But the Ghost Hunter does not only have offense, they also have defense in the form of ghost armor. This is a, quote, lightweight chest plate. It's made from plastic or fiberglass. The edges are trimmed with silver, and there's like a giant-sized circuit board on the inside. It says, quote, electrical wires and sensor contact pads like those used in an EKG machine are on the inside. So this is like a plastic chest plate, presumably with abs. I mean, obviously. This may in fact be like a repurposed piece of a Captain America Halloween outfit with like a hard plastic chest piece with abs built in. And then what you do is you repaint it. It says here that the color is always white, gray, or silver. So I guess that's important for ghost defense somehow. And then on the inside, you just kind of do a circuit board thing, just kind of a, like if you were in high school in the 90s and you ever did a trifold display about the information superhighway, if you ever like got out some glitter pen and did a circuit board type effect, you just do that to the inside of the chest plate and wear that and you're going to be just fine. No ghosts getting through that Captain America chest. I mean, silver edges, gray paint, and glitter pen, that's three lines of defense. Ghosts don't stand a chance. I should also note there's an optional groin piece in case any ghosts try to kick you in the dick, and to power the glitter pen circuit board inside your plastic chest plate, there is a solar-powered battery with a power crystal that you wear on your hip. You don't want to go with anything too expensive. I mean, what if a ghost sees that your ghost armor is powered by this power pack on your hip and decides to take a ghostly baseball bat to it? What then? You got to replace it. So don't put like a diamond or anything in there. You want to do like a nice amethyst or something like that. Something you can go down to the local rock show and replace if need be, if any ghosts get crafty with you. So like a nice amethyst strapped to a solar battery, attached to lines of glitter pen inside your plastic chest plate. That's how you defend yourself from ghosts. You've got your ghost gun. This is the gun we were talking about in the illustration. And the book says it all, quote, "This is an oversized handgun of unusual design and configuration, making it look more like a toy than a 21st century gun." And indeed, this thing looks like it would be used for laser tag or Nerf war, not ectoplasmic combat. And then sadly, there's no description of the ghost vision goggles, except to say that they also function as night vision goggles. So they're real night vision goggles, but there's something unspecified that you've done to them so that they can also see invisible things. This is very disappointing because from the perspective of 2019, I mean, we maybe didn't know this in 2005, but from the 2019 perspective, nothing makes you look like a goofy cosplayer more than embarrassingly elaborate goggles. If you wanted to play this character as like a monster fighting steampunk cosplayer, there are two things I'd recommend. The first one is there should be like a free turning gear that isn't connected to anything that you dial to like tune in your ectoplasmic vision. So there's just like a freestanding gear apropos of nothing on the side of these goggles. And secondly, maybe you have to put them over your eyes for the night vision to work. But just to see ghosts, you can just apply the goggles directly to your hat. So you could do that thing where you're like wearing the big top hat and then the goggles just go on the hat. But yeah, canonically, no description of what the goggles look like. Nonetheless, I mean, any goggles are goofy. If the police apprehend you and find you with any manner of electronic goggles, even if they are legit night vision goggles, I think the assumption is that you're a wacko. And, you know, if there were any doubt, I think the chest plate will confirm. You know, interrogation will bring out, like, so what's your plastic chest plate for? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see, fighting ghosts. And does that consume a lot of power? Is that why you've hooked it up to this battery attached to an amethyst here in the fanny pack? Yeah, okay. And along the way here, I've skipped the devil sword, but it's really just a standard sword, except that it's got holy symbols carved in the blade, and it's got, once again, crystals built into the handle. It does, however, do full damage to normal living things, which I think is a mistake. I think to complete the effect on this page, this should have been a cheapo replica Malbot sword, ideally from a name franchise, like this is Aragorn's sword, only you took it to your workshop and inscribed all the different mana symbols from Magic the Gathering in the blade. And then did some online crystal shopping and like hot glued some crystals on the handle just for good measure. But yeah, all these are really goofy and I think have to have been created with the idea that this is one of the few characters in this game, one of the few classes that's likely to be out there engaging in some pretty serious mayhem, right? This is not like the Diviner or the Psychic Sensitive we're going to get later. It's doing a lot of relatively invisible monster fighting. This is a character who's out there with a shotgun and a sword and a trench coat tearing it up, causing probably some collateral damage in their quest to punch ghosts. They're likely to get busted, and it's actually good for the Just for Kicks masquerade if their ghost hunting gear appears to be silly toys that an eccentric weirdo would carry around. It's very un-Blade. Like, if you were looking for Blade, if the illustration set you up for that, revise your mental image to Wesley Snipes with a plastic chest plate attached to a fanny pack full of crystals, holding a Nerf rifle with steampunk goggles on his face. It lacks a certain dark elegance that you may want from your Blade analog. But nonetheless, like for this game and for the Just for Kicks masquerade, it's pretty good. Because I like the janky in-character equipment here, I had to stretch a little bit to find the dumbest thing in this page. And fortunately, it presented itself in the form of some janky rules construction. So the Ecto Slayer shotgun, quote, does 1d6 plus 1 damage per level of the psychic to supernatural beings with a physical body. Now that is very low damage for a shotgun. I think conventionally you can get something like 7d6 damage out of a shotgun with heavy ammo for just like a regular shotgun. Now granted, a regular shotgun can't shoot ghosts. But against a demon or something, a 1d6 plus 1 is very low for a shotgun. And at plus 1 damage per level, that would be climbing very slowly. You know, even by 15th level, 1d6 plus 15 is an average of 18 damage. That's still not as much damage as 7d6 on average. Others have noticed this. I went online to find out if I was reading this correctly or if anybody else had sort of noticed that the Ecto Slayer shotgun seems drastically underpowered. And I found a discussion on the Palladium forum where someone said that the proper reading, per Kevin Sambita, is that when it says 1d6 plus 1 damage per level of the psychic, that doesn't mean 1d6 base and then an additional plus 1 per level. It means an additional 1d6 plus 1 per level. Even though elsewhere on this page, that same phrasing is used to mean something different. So, okay, ambiguity. The detail that makes this the dumbest thing on this page is how we're supposed to know what the proper scaling for the shotgun damage is. This was not an official errata from Palladium. This was not even an answer given by Kevin Sambita or someone else on the Palladium forum. The only way I was able to get this information is to go to the Palladium forum and find someone posting the correct calculation as quoted from a phone conversation they had with Kevin Sambita. That is what we have been reduced to if we want to play Palladium games properly, if we want these rules to work. We have been reduced to scouring the internet for rumors that someone once talked to Kevin Sambita on the phone and he explained how it's supposed to work. And there's a very nice detail, actually, in that account that the person wrote down what Kevin Sambita said so that they would remember it later, which I guess would be a very smart thing to do. If you're ever talking to Kevin Sambita about something important, write it down, because as we know, once words leave him, either spoken through his mouth or typed out through his fingers, he does not want to revisit them, and any further attempts to ask him the same question will result invariably in a different answer. So you gotta write it down yourself while the getting's good. If I can try to bind these things together thematically to make some kind of coherent episode out of all this, it is the word of the day, janky. This silly-ass ghost hunter is very Palladium to me. I love it despite myself. Even though we're promised somebody like Blade by the opening illustration, I can't really be mad that what we have here is a silly monster hunter with silly toy-like weapons who, deep down, is still just that little boy who wanted to punch a ghost so much that he developed superpowers specifically for the purpose of punching ghosts. And I love the fact that that looks silly to the outside world. I love that his ghost armor is just a plastic chest piece with special crystals attached and some random electronics hot glued on. It really captures the almost do-it-yourself spirit of Palladium, if I can put it that way. A DIY. That is how I'd characterize this aesthetic. It doesn't quite get done, you didn't quite do it, but you almost did it yourself, and that counts for something. That's really what it feels like trying to understand these rules, and God knows, to play by them or to make a character in one of these games. It feels like just attaching plastic tubing and wires until your character seems like they almost work, and that aesthetic is not very Trenchcoat Horror, but it is very Palladium, so it's cool. It's also dumb. Anyway, this completes our deep dive into the Ghost Hunter, a complex figure, an outlandish class in a game that is otherwise a bit more low-key. But we aren't quite done delving the psyches of these psychics. Join me next time as we discuss a character type defined by their psychological hang-ups, the latent psychic, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.